ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः. मुखं करोति वचनं पङ्गुं लङ्गायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं मन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनकारिणं. नमां विष्णुवताय कृष्णप्रेस्ताय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नाम्ने. नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यधिष्ठारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैतागदाधारा श्री वसादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. सो वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग टू सी द डिफरेंट प्रेयर्स ऑफ लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा एंड द ब्रह्म संहिता. वी हैव स्टार्टेड द गोविंदम प्रेयर्स एंड इन द प्रीवियस क्लास वी सॉ वर्सेस 32 टू 35. Which is actually the key to understanding Krishna consciousness. And Brahma, in those prayers, he clears the doubts of all the etis, and we saw the different qualities of Krishna. So that was verses 32 to 35. So today we will be doing verse number 36. So I'll write the verse, we'll do word by word translation, and then we can get into the discussion. Actually, this verse is important, and the verse after this is considered even more important. And verse number 37 actually has the longest purport in the entire Brahma Samhita. But I don't think we'll be able to do both verses in a single day. So we'll just see verse number 36 today, and we'll do 37 tomorrow, next class. So I'll read verse number 5.36.
यद्भावभवितधियो मनुजस्ततैव सम्प्राप्य रूपमहिमानस ज्ञानभूषाम् सूक्तैर्यमेव निगमप्रतित स्तुवन्ति गोविन्दमादिपुरुषं तमहं भजामि. यत् फॉर होम भाव विथ डिवोशन भावित आर इम्ब्यूड Dhiyaha, whose hearts, Manuja, men, Tatha eva, similarly, Samprapya, having gained, Rupa, beauty, Mahima, greatness, Asana, thrones, Yana, conveyances, Bhushaha, and ornaments, Suktaihi, by Vedic hymns, Yam, whom, eva, certainly, Nigama, by the Vedas, Pratitai, told, Stuvanti, offer praise, Govindam, Govinda, Adipurusham, the original person, Tam, him, Aham, I, Bhajami, worship. Translation, I adore the same Govinda, the primeval Lord, in whose praise men who are imbued with devotion, sing the mantra suktas told by the Vedas, by gaining their appropriate beauty, greatness, thrones, conveyances, and ornaments. So, I'll probably read the purport because it's small. Purport. In discussing rasa, we meet five kinds of devotion or service. Shanta or unattached, dasya or parenting to reverential willing service, sakya or friendship, vatsalya, or parental love, and Shringara or juvenile love. The devotees are charged with the ideas of their respective service, serve Krishna eternally, and ultimately reach the goal of their respective ideals. They attain the real nature of their self-beviting, their self-respective rasas, their glories, conveyances, seats befitting their sacred service, and transcendental qualities of ornaments enhancing the beauty of their real nature. Those who are advocates of Shantarasa attain the region of the Brahman Paramatma, the seat of eternal peace. Those of Dasya Rasa get into Vaikuntha, the spiritual majestic abode of Sri Narayana. Those of Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya Rasa, juvenile love, attain Goloka Dham, Krishna's abode above Vaikuntha. They worship Krishna by the suktas depicted in the Vedas with the ingredients and objects befitting their respective rasas in those regions. The Vedas, under the influence of the spiritual potency in certain passages, speak of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The liberated souls chant the name, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord under the guidance of the same spiritual potency. So this verse, it primarily talks about two things. As the verse itself begins, it talks yet bhava bhavita. That means it talks about bhava bhakti. That is one thing. And the second thing, as we read the purport, we understand that there is a discussion of the different devotees in different rasas. So that is what we will be discussing throughout in today's class. What the verse actually means is that devotees, as they mature in their devotional service, they attain the stage of bhava and perfection in terms of what their specific relationship with Krishna is. They attain one of the five relationships, as we already saw. But even within the five relationships, there is something that is unique for each individual. So they attain their respective positions within those five rasas. Each person within the rasa is unique. They have a very special, unique relationship with Krishna, and they attain that. So this verse actually gets really high. It talks about the bhava bhakti stage. And we will be getting into the subject of rasa tattva. And that is the essence of understanding devotion to Krishna. So it is said that devotional life is like a creeper, and by the grace of Krishna, one meets a spiritual master who plants the seed, and carefully by the process of watering the seed through the process of Shravanam Kirtanam, the seed fructifies and it grows into a creeper plant. So while it is growing, one has to fence the plant from all kinds of intrusions, which are the offenses. So often we read the 10 offenses. So these 10 offenses have to be carefully guarded. And the greatest of all offenses is the Vaishnava Aparad. It is called as the elephant offense. Just like an elephant, when it enters into a field, a maddened elephant, when it enters into a field, it just goes crazy and all the plants are destroyed. So similarly, when we make Vaishnava Aparad, the seed that is the plant that is growing actually gets destroyed. So that is blasphemy of a devotee. So this type of offenses, they destroy the devotional creeper. Not only Vaishnava Aparad, but also these are also considered as aparad, other than the 10 offenses, Vaishnava Aparad. It is also speaking against the Lord. The existence of the Lord is considered an offense. Speaking against the existence of the soul is also considered an offense. Having personal egotism, to think oneself a great and a perfect devotee, is a very big offense. Desiring profit and adoration is offense. Profit, adoration, distinction, especially in devotional service, when you start looking at these things, that is not good. And so like this, there are many, many enemies for the devotional creeper. So we must carefully guard against these offenses. And that's how the devotional creeper actually continues to grow. So basically, we all know this. It all begins with adau shraddha. And even in previous discussion, we heard about shraddha. So it begins with faith. So shraddha is faith. Then as you have a little bit faith, Krishna guides you to sadhu sangha. You get the association of devotees. Then you perform bhajana kriya, performance of devotional service. Then there is anartha nivritti. Decreasing the unwanted attachments and removing unwanted, all these offenses. Then there is nishtha or steadiness. Then you get into ruchi, which is taste. Then there is asakti, attachment, bhava, which is love, and prema, which is pure love for Krishna. So today, actually, the focus is on this point, which is bhava. So we're talking about a person who has attained the state of bhava bhakti, who has crossed through these different stages. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the science of devotional service is explained as follows. This is like a quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It states, in the beginning there must be faith. Then one becomes interested in associating with pure devotees. Thereafter, one is initiated by a spiritual master and executes the regulative principles under his orders. Thus, one is free from all unwanted habits and finally becomes fixed in devotional service. Thereafter, one develops taste and attachment. This is the way of sadhana bhakti, the execution of devotional service according to regulative principles. Then, gradually, emotions intensify, and finally, there is an awakening of love. This is the gradual development of love of God for the devotee interested in Krishna consciousness. Faith is essential throughout, but faith, the same faith that we begin with, it begins with faith, right? Like Adarshada we were saying. So it all begins with faith. As we progress through all these stages, faith is important. But the thing is that faith that we have, it deepens and deepens as we progress through the different stages. Just like that, if Prabhu was talking about how faith is also important in accepting prasadam. The more faith we have in prasadam, the more effective it is. So like that, as we progress in Krishna consciousness, actually our faith deepens and deepens as we cross these different stages. And at the purest stage also, our faith is very, very well established. So like this, faith deepens through different stages. And as we see in this verse, it talks about bhava, yet bhava bhavita. So we must know that, we must know what bhava is. We understand it's a very high state, and it comes after all these processes that we just mentioned, which is shraddha, initial shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, nishtha, ruchi, asakti. Then we get into bhava. So bhava is a very, very mature state of bhakti. That means when sadhana bhakti fully matures, something extraordinary happens. So at that time, the Lord's vishuddha sattva descends upon a person. Pure goodness of the Lord, it starts descending upon the person. This is also called as Vasudeva consciousness. Prabhupada often uses this phrase also. So this pure goodness, it descends upon a person, and the person gets immersed in this pure goodness, blessed by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, who is the Sladini Shakti. So at that time, the devotee is considered an Uttamadhikari, or a topmost devotee of the Lord, when he has attained the state of Bhava. And how is Bhava attained? When Shuddha Sattva descends into a person. That's when Bhava is attained. So at that time, what happens? At that time, one's heart becomes illuminated like the sun. So when the sun is far away from all the planets, you know, planetary system, there is no possibility of it being covered by any kind of cloud. So at this stage, like, you know, up to certain feet, you will see clouds and all that. As you move higher and higher and higher, you will see that the sun is really not covered by any cloud. So similarly, when a devotee is purified, like the sun from his pure heart is a diffusion of ecstatic love, which is more glorious than the sunshine. This is again from Nectar of Devotion. So basically what it says is that the person starts emanating so much purity and love that cannot, that is not covered. You know, like how clouds are covering the sun. Like that, the sunshine that is coming out, or the brightness that is coming out from the devotee at this stage is so good, it is so pure, it is so bright. So when we associate with such a devotee in this Vasudeva state, we can catch the rays of the sun of ecstatic love that emanates from the devotee's heart. And the pure devotee who carries Krishna in his heart carries with him the sun of ecstatic love, and the rays of that sun emanate and can touch anyone. And when one is touched, one can be transformed. So basically what it says is that a person who is like the sunshine, who is emanating pure love, like pure sunshine, this person is in the state of Vasudeva. So when someone comes in contact with such a person, and just a minute ray touches him, the person who is coming in contact with a person in pure goodness, then when a minute ray just touches him, at that time one gets transformed. Just like how we say, even a minute of an association with a pure devotee can transform anyone's heart. So that's what here it is saying actually. Just if that one ray, if you're able to catch that one ray, you will be instantaneously transformed. Yeah. So at this stage, when the person is in bhava bhakti, they offer spontaneous service to the Lord, and there is no agitation from the material senses, and their anarthas are practically nil. That means they have conquered this anartha completely. It is all gone. Because anartha nivritti also, it's not like, okay, one stage over, next stage. It's not like that. Certain things, they flow through different stages also. So, but at the stage of bhava, this anartha is completely gone. It has become zero, practically nil. So that is the state this person achieves. He is on the platform of Shuddha Sattva. He's like sunshine. And even 1 minute association with him, even if one ray of sunshine falls on a person, that person can be transformed. And a person who is in Bhava Bhakti stage is doing spontaneous loving devotion, and all the anarthas are practically nil. So there are actually, we all know, first there is sadhana bhakti, that means hearing, chanting, association, all that. And then that actually, whatever sadhana we are doing, that develops attraction for Krishna. And then bhava bhakti is reached, and bhava bhakti is considered perfection. So it happens naturally. So there is no need for a person to try to do it. It just happens naturally, and a person wouldn't even know how and when it happens. It happens when Krishna gives his mercy and when Radharani decides to give mercy. So how do we know if a person is in this stage, in the stage of bhava bhakti? So Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a verse that states the 9 symptoms manifest at this stage in their behavior. So I'll just read that verse and then we'll see what it says. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 23, verses 18 and 19, translation. When the seed of ecstatic emotion for Krishna fructifies, that means when a person reaches bhava, the following 9 symptoms manifest in one's behavior. What are those? Forgiveness, concern that the time should not be wasted, detachment, absence of false prestige, hope, eagerness, a taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord, attachment to the description of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and affection for those places where the Lord resides, that is, a temple or a holy place like Vrindavan. These are called anubhava, subordinate signs of ecstatic emotion. They are visible in a person whose heart, the seed of love of God, has begun to fructify. So basically, all of these symptoms, all of them, actually not just one, but all of that we just read, are observed in a person who has achieved bhava bhakti. So when he serves in the mood of bhava bhakti, eventually he attains prema, which is the prayojana or final goal of life. Now, of course, we will see more about these bhava bhakti state, but before that, I just wanted to talk about the different rasas that one gets into. At this stage. So it is at this bhava bhakti stage that one identifies or one understands his particular rasa. So in the purport, we hear the relationships, which is shanta rasa, vatsalya rasa, dasya rasa, all that. So according to the seed that each one of us already have, which is an eternal living relationship, loving relationship with Krishna, all of us have a particular seed. Every jiva has a particular seed. That is an eternal loving relationship with Krishna. So at this point, we don't know and we don't understand the process of bringing it out. Each type of seed is, it is different. At this time, we don't know what that seed is. So, depending on the emotion each person has, you talk about there are different seeds, like for example, in a farm, you have different flowering plants, okay? So you have a seed for a jasmine flower, rose flower, like that. Just think of different flowers. So there are different seeds. The water you're pouring over the seed is the same, okay? But the seeds are different, okay? So depending on the nature of the seed, a different flower will come out. So that means what I'm saying is, the watering process is actually common for everyone. Shravanam Kirtanam is going to be common for everyone. Everyone goes through these Bhajana Kriya processes. Everything is, the process is all the same. You go through these different stages, everybody. It doesn't depend on, if I have this kind of a seed, that means my process is different. It's not like that. Everyone's seed is unique, but the process is the same. So, and eventually, what emerges from that person is different because the seed is different. So like that, in each of us could be in any of these rasas, which is Shanta Rasa, Dasya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa, or Madhurya Rasa. But as of now, we don't know because we have not even crossed Anartha Nivritti. We are still doing Bhajana Kriya, and even our faith is also not fully strengthened. So we are at a very, very beginning stage. But this is something about Bhava Bhakti, That is the highest stage, when one reaches the highest stage. So we all know that there are different rasas, such as Shanta rasa, Bhasi rasa, Sakhi rasa, Vatsalya, or Madhuri rasa. So depending on this nature, the bhakti process makes the particular nature that the seed or the person inherently has come out in the state of bhava, and he understands his actual relationship with Krishna. Sometimes the word rati is also used instead of bhava. Rati means an attachment. So sometimes you will even see the phrase shanta rati or bhasi rati. So type of attachment is called as rati. So shanta means it's a neutral stage, and like how the purport said, in the stage of shanta rati, it is somewhat between impersonalism and personalism. There is not so much attachment to the personal feature of the Lord, but still there is an understanding of the greatness of the Lord. Okay, so usually Paramatma feature of the Lord, when one realizes the Paramatma feature of the Lord, then generally they are considered to be in Shanta Rasa. Okay, now Dasya Rasa or Dasya Rati, so that happens when there is an element of service added. He performs devotional service and therefore he receives the Lord's favor, but he has a lot of reverence for the Lord. So at that time, this person is in Dasya Rasa, and his attachment increases because there is some personal relationship with the Lord. Then the next level, or the next rasa, not level, but the next rasa is friendship or equality with the Lord. And that comes with conviction. So generally they say to think oneself equal to the Lord is actually an offense. But here it is not an offense when one is in Sakya Rasa, because his Sakya Rasa is imbued with love. So it's not considered an offense. He is not trying to say that he is also God. Rather, he has a loving relationship with God at an equal status, like friendship, like two friends. They are somewhat equal, but the relationship is loving. So that is the difference. And then there is Vatsalya, Vatsalya Rasa. So at that time, a person feels affection and he wants to give protection to the Lord. And then there is Madhurya, that is getting attracted to the sweetness of the Lord, and this makes a devotee feel conjugal relationship with the Lord. So when one attains the state of bhava and he is in one of these relationships, and when he is continuously attracted to one of these features, it is called as sthayi bhava or continuous and permanent ecstasy. So again I repeat, when a person is in the stage of bhava, we saw the different symptoms that he has, right? Like we just read that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Like he has these symptoms like forgiveness, concern that time should not be wasted, detachment, absence of prestige, all this. So when a person in the stage of bhava, he also has his rasa that is known, and he has a continuous outpour of that feeling, you know, a continuous outpour, continuous permanent ecstasy because of that feeling. So at that time, when the feeling is continuous and permanent, it is called as sthayi bhava. Okay, so it is like the king of emotions. So he's got that one particular emotion that is so predominant, and the rest of the feelings are somewhat subordinate to it. So other emotions which are subordinate are called as vibhava. So there is sthayi bhava, there is vibhava. Okay. Now, vibhava, vibhava is divided into two parts. One is alambana and the other one is udipana. Now, this is getting technical. We don't have to remember everything. But if you just understand what Rupa Goswami is trying to say, it will be helpful. We can just relish it. We don't have to remember it, but we can just relish these little things. So, about bhava bhakti, it's very interesting. So, we can just relish it. So, don't worry about remembering all these names. Now, a person is in sthayi bhava, that means continuous predominating ecstasy he's having. But there are also other subordinate emotions which are called as vibhava. Okay, and this vibhava is divided into two parts, which is alambana and udipana. Alambana has two parts again, which is vishaya and ashraya. Okay, so vishaya is like what you're loving, and ashraya is the object or shelter of love. So sometimes Krishna can be the person you're loving, or Krishna could be loving you. So the vishaya and the vishaya and the ashraya could be interchangeable. So a person is loving, the other person is being the object of that love, like that. So there are two things here, in alambana, and then udipana is the stimulation. An example for stimulation is seeing a dark rain cloud or a peacock feather reminds Radharani of Krishna. Or sometimes a stimulation can be the presence of other devotees who are on the stage of Bhava Bhakti. So stimulation can be anything. It could just be, like for example, the gopis, they would just see a dark cloud or they would see a tamal tree and their feelings would get stimulated, like that. So there is, in the stage of Thayi Bhav, there are some subordinate emotions also. In these subordinate emotions, there is a stimulation. Because of seeing something, they are getting the emotion, like that. They are getting stimulated to have this emotion. And there is alambana. The relationship is between two people, like Krishna is the, either Vishaya or he is the Ashraya. Or the devotee is the Vishaya or he is the Ashraya. So that's how the subordinate feelings work out. Okay. Then there is next thing called as Anubhav, which is actually the subsequent ecstasy. So Anubhav ecstasy comes as a result of the continuous bhava. When a person is at this Vishuddha Sattvic stage, his heart becomes agitated and that produces a variety of bodily symptoms like dancing, rolling, crying, deep breathing. All these are called as Anubhav. So when a person is having a, like for example, a person is in so much, like Chaitanya, let's take example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, though he is the Supreme Lord, he experienced these ecstasies. He was feeling the love of the gopis in separation from Krishna. So that was a continuous emotion that he was having. And at the same time, he would get stimulated when he saw certain things. He would get reminded of Krishna. And the Vishaya and the Ashraya principle was working simultaneously when he was having these emotions. And then there were subsequent ecstasies, like what all he would do. If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll see how he behaved. Like he suddenly starts getting various bodily symptoms, like dancing, rolling, singing, crying. He'll have deep breathing. So all these are called as Anubhav. So all these emotions are coming out. And then there is Sattvika Bhav, which is constitutional ecstasies. So they are a little different from the previous Anubhav. The examples given are being stunned, perspiring, hair standing on end. So these are all called as Sattvika Bhava. And when more than one of these Sattvika Bhavas are seen, it is called as Sudipta. That means a person is just emanating out so much of ecstasy. And then there is Vyabhachari, which is transitory ecstasies. Vyabhachari is also called as Sanchari, and they are 33 in number. And sometimes they get very adverse, like feeling very guilty. Then they have so much fatigue. Then they get a lot of pride, man. That is like how Radharani, she gets man, she gets pride. Like that. Then forgetfulness, they forget who they are. And sometimes they even get diseases. So these are all transcendental ecstasies, actually. Though it sounds somewhat adverse, actually they're supposed to be ecstasies. And there are totally 33 such ecstasies, Vyabhachari Bhav, that one experiences. And each of them produces an ecstasy for the devotee. And these are described in verses 29 to 31 in Nectar of Devotion. So now we have seen Sthayi Bhav is the predominating thing. And then you have all these different Sattvika Bhav, Vyabhachari Bhav, and you have Anubhav and Dibhav, all these are there, right? So what happens is, just like when yogurt is mixed with sugar, candy, pepper, and camphor, when they all mix together, they're supposed to become very tasty. So similarly, when Sthayi Bhav, that is the predominated continuous ecstasy, mixes with the other ecstasies, it becomes very tasty. So when they experience all of this continuously, different kinds of bhava, when they are experiencing along with the Sthayi Bhav, that's when they get into a very, very high state of ecstasy. And the whole experience of Krishna, Prema, becomes very tasty. So when they all mix together, now we saw them as different, right? When they all mix together, everything is mixed up and the person is in complete ecstasy, at that stage, it is called as Bhakti Rasa. Bhakti Rasa means a stage of Prema is attained. That is the next level, actually. We have gone to the next level. So That's why we say this book is called as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's an ocean of Bhakti Rasa. Whatever the devotee is experiencing is an ocean of Bhakti Rasa. And Bhava is just a flash. Okay, the Bhava stage, the emotion is just like a little bud. When you see a little flower bud, you already know the type of smell it is going to have, the color it is going to have, but it's not fully blossomed. But when these all mix together and they blossom like a beautiful flower with so many emotions, it is called as the stage of prema, which is the topmost level. Okay. Now, other than the primary rasas that we spoke, this is all about bhava and prema, bhava bhakti, how bhava bhakti functions. Now, we saw about the five major rasas, which is shanta rasa, dhasya rasa, sakya rasa, madhurya rasa, vatsalya rasa, and madhurya rasa, right? So, but there are also seven subordinate rasas. I think you must have heard this many times, like wonder, shivering, like that. These are sometimes seen in devotees when the predominating rasa is already present. I'll give an example. Like, for example, Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda, her predominating rasa is Vatsalya rasa, right? But still, sometimes she has fear. Some demon will come and attack Krishna. So that is a subordinate rasa. So it doesn't mean that when you have Vatsalya rasa, you'll always continuously only be having Vatsalya rasa. You'll have some subordinate rasas also. And there are about seven subordinate rasas. But still, these subordinate rasas are always subordinate to the prominent rasa. If the rasa is prominently vatsalya, the others become subordinate. The other feelings that she gets are subordinate to the prominent rasa. And we were talking about how the seed actually the seed actually grows into a creeper, and the different flowers are seen based on the inherent quality of the seed, right? So an example again is given of what happens during the time of Swati Nakshatra. So Swati Nakshatra is considered very auspicious. And during the time of Swati Nakshatra, when it rains, it is said when the raindrop falls on a particular spot on the head of an elephant, a gajamukha is formed. It's like a red gem. And then when it falls on the feet of a cow, gocharana is formed. It's like a yellow pigment. And when it falls in the mouth of a deer, kasturi, the smell that the deer has, right? The kasturi smell, it's called as musk. Musk is created in that musk deer. And when it falls in the sea, in the mouth of an oyster, a pearl is formed. So that's how actually pearls are formed naturally in the sea. During Swati Nakshatra, when it rains, when it falls on an oyster, actually pearl is formed in the sea. So this is it is the same rain, right? It's the same rain. Still, the results are different. Why? Because the seed is different. Where it is falling is different. So that is again one example to understand how the seed actually fructifies into different kinds of flowers. I didn't get the entire verse of this. I was looking for the exact verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where the Swati Nakshatra is mentioned, because I wanted to understand what happens, what is Gajamukha exactly, and I also wanted to check what happens when the rain falls on the hood of a snake. There is something that happens even at that time when the rain falls on the hood of the snake. I couldn't find it, so if one of you find it, please forward it to me. I would like to read more about this Swati Nakshatra thing. Then similarly by devotion, a particular sthayi bhava is revealed. So just an example for us to understand how come a particular rasa is formed. It depends on the seed that is already there. So the devotees, they become overwhelmed with all these emotions, and when everything mixes together, as I already mentioned, it becomes bhakti rasa. So this is about bhava bhakti. Now the purport we see, the second part of the discussion is actually about the different types of devotees. What are the different types of devotees in these five primary rasas? So that is what we'll be seeing. Now when we take up Shanta Rasa, and in the stage of Shanta Rasa, one understands that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Lord or as the Super Soul, and he has an appreciation for the Supreme Lord when he's in the Brahman realization. So this can be attained by impersonalists And we see that they don't have an active rasa with the Supreme Lord, but they just appreciate the Supreme Lord. There's some kind of appreciation. So then the stage that they, the relationship they have is called as Shantarasa. Now, we also see Shantarasa as present in Goloka Vrindavan. Like we give examples of cows, stick that Krishna carries, the buffalo horn that he carries, the fruits in Vrindavan, the flowers that Krishna wears, and everything else, the flute actually Krishna carries. Like that, there are so many things that we say is in Shantarasa. But the beauty of Goloka Vrindavan is that this rasa is not pure Shantarasa. They are not limited just to Shantarasa. They are always mixed with other loving ecstasies. Like, for example, if you take the cows and the calves, they have Shantarasa, but at the same time, they have parental love. So there is a mixture that happens in Goloka Vrindavan. If it is pure Shanta, then it is considered more of a Paramatma realization kind of a thing. But if there is a mixture, if there is some relationship, active relationship, then you see that generally happening in places like Goloka Vrindavan. And these are some examples, like how cows also have Vatsali Rasa, and the flute that is always on the mouth of Krishna, it has a mix of Madhuri Rasa because it's always on the lips of Krishna. And in fact, the gopis get jealous of the flute. So so this is a Rasa, Shantarasa, yes, but still it is always a mixture in Goloka Vrindavan. Then you see Dasi Rasa. So Dasya Rasa, predominantly pure Dasya, is seen in Vaikuntha. It is also seen in Dwaraka, Mathura, Puri. Then when you go to Vrindavan, there is a mixture again. There is no pure Dasya. Like for example, the servants in the home of Nanda Maharaj, they all have servitude to Krishna because they are serving Krishna as the servant. But still, they have some kind of parental love in them. But whereas you see someone like Brahma or the other demigods, like, you know, like for example in Lord Ramachandra's story, you see Samudra Raja came and he offered his obeisances. So they all have pure Dasirasa. They don't have this kind of parental love for Krishna or something. It's a different kind of Dasirasa. Then Kaliya, he became a servant after the Lord chastised him and placed his feet on Kaliya. Then you have Uddhava, Dharuka, Satyaki. They are all constant associates of the Lord. And they all have, again, Dasya Rasa with the Lord. And Uddhava is considered as one of the best Dasya followers of the Lord. But when it comes to Goloka Vrindavan, the emotions are a little different. Nothing becomes pure Dasya. Nothing is purely like just servant, servant, servant. They have some mixture in their behavior, like how we give the example of the servants. Then you take the example of Krishna's sons. They also have some kind of, they don't have, their relationship is very close. They don't have, they have a servitude attitude, but still the sons can go and sit on the laps of Krishna, on the lap of Krishna. But whereas Hanuman, who's pure Dasya Rasa, he cannot go and sit on the lap of Lord Ramachandra. So we see there is a development of Rasa. Krishna's sons become more advanced than Hanuman in that sense. Not that Hanuman is something low, but we're talking in terms of rasa, in terms of advancement of rasa. So Krishna's son appear to be more intimate, actually. Intimate is the word. The relationship is more intimate when it comes to Krishna. Even in Mathura or Dwaraka, relationship is more intimate. Then we talk about the next rasa's fraternity or friendship. So here there is a sense of conviction and there is equality that is seen. Now we see different kinds of friends. Like for example, the five Pandavas and Draupadi. So they were one type of friends. You have the Sudama Brahmana, who is one type of friend in Mathura Hastinapur. So they are firmly fixed in friendship. Whereas in Vrindavan, there is a mixture with Sudam, Subal, all of them. And we'll see some classifications of different kinds of sakhas in Vrindavan. This is quite interesting. So when you come to Vrindavan Dham, everything is mixed up. And not only that, there are different classifications of different types of sakhas in Vrindavan. So the first category of friends are called as well-wishing friends. And the second category is called as confidential. And the third one is very intimate. So the well-wishing friends, they are a little older than Krishna, and they always try to protect Krishna. And an example given is Mandali Bhadra. So he carries a stick and he wears a peacock feather. He is always accompanied Krishna, but he is always protective of Krishna. So that is a kind of a well-wisher friend. Now there are confidential friends. These confidential friends are of equal age. They are practically at an equal level. They don't have parental love. They are always equal, like with Krishna. They stand with Krishna at an equal thing, and they have fun and they joke and they do everything. Like for example, Madhumangal. Madhumangal is always the classic example that is given. And also Sridham, the brother of Srimati Radharani. They are all at equal level. And then there is this intimate friendship, like Subal and Ujjwala and others. They have a very, very close, intimate relationship with Krishna, that they know even the like the relationship Krishna has with the gopis, and they understand a lot more about Krishna. It's just not about friendship, it's much more than that. They know everything about Krishna. So that kind of intimate relationship, and that is actually demonstrated in one pastime where there was a talk among the friends of Srimati Radharani. The gopis, they were talking about the most intimate friends. So one gopi addressed Radharani, my dear little Radharani, see how the Subal is whispering your message into Krishna's ear, and how he's delivering the confidential letter of Shyamadasi silently into Krishna's hand, and how he's delivering the beating nuts prepared by Palika into Krishna's mouth, and how he's decorating Krishna with a garland prepared by Taraka. Did you know, my dear friend, that all these most intimate friends of Krishna are always engaged in the service in this way? Out of many intimate Priyanarma, Subal and Ujjwala are considered to be the prominent. So they get a little more close to Krishna. So these are the intimate friends. So even within the Sakhas and Vrindavan, there's actually classification. So that is about Sakya Rasa. Then we look at Vatsalya Rasa. Vatsalya Rasa is parental love. So these are generally older people, superior persons to Krishna, who act as Krishna's father or mother. Now there are 9 famous persons in order who are in Vatsalya Rasa, from the topmost. Okay, so we'll see from the topmost. Number one person in Madhurya Rasa, in Vatsalya Rasa is actually Yashoda. Yashoda stands number one in Vatsalya Rasa. Then is Nanda Maharaj. Then you have Rohini, who is the mother of Balram. Then the elder gopis in Vrindavan, who were the mothers of the sons who were taken away by Lord Brahma. Because during the Brahma Vimohan Leela, Krishna manifested himself as all the cowherd boys. So at that time, all the mothers in Vrindavan, all the gopis in Vrindavan got to enjoy this parental rasa with Krishna. So first we have Yashoda, then Nanda Maharaj, then Rohini, then all the elderly gopis in Vrindavan, then you have Devaki, and then the 15 other wives of Vasudev other than Devaki, and then Kunti, then Vasudev, then Sandipanini. So this is the order given Varupa Goswami about the devotees and parental rasa, starting from Yashoda, ending with Sandipanini. And then we have Madhurya Rasa. So here in Madhurya Rasa, sweetness is the main quality. So generally when we say Madhurya Rasa, we have 2 groups. One is the gopis of Vrindavan, and the other one is the queens of Dwaraka. So when talking about the gopis, of course the gopis of Vrindavan are more intimate, because we know the concept of Parakya and Swakya Rasa. So married relationship is called as Swakya, and unmarried relationship is Parakya. And generally, the relationship between 2 lovers is sweeter than the relationship between a married couple, because there is no formality, there is no expectation, there is no sense of duty. So all these, or there is no sense of social norms, rules and regulations, that is tying the relationship when it comes to, rules and regulations in the sense that, it is not controlled by the laws of society, like, okay, wife has to serve the husband, you have to cook, the husband has to maintain the wife. Like that, there are no such expectations, that's what I'm trying to say. So so there is a difference between the conjugal relationship in married and unmarried relationship. Unmarried relationship, which is lovers, are actually more intimate because there is no expectation in that sense. And there is no sense of duty in that sense. So that's why it's considered more sweet. And the lover is ready to do anything for his beloved. And the beloved is also doing anything for her lover. So it's like that. Whereas a husband and wife, you will see the intensity is a little different in the relationship. So therefore, Parakya Rasa is considered higher than Swakya Rasa. So the gopis of Vrindavan and Madhurya Rasa are actually higher than the queens of Dwaraka. Now, among the gopis of Vrindavan, the main gopis are actually the Ashtasakis. These are the top eight. And they start with Lalita, Vishakha, and others. But amongst them, the leader is Srimati Lalita Devi. So she is considered as the leader of all these sakis, other than Radharani. We're looking at the persons other than Radharani. So they are like Lalita, Vishakha, Champaklata, Chitra, Tungavidya, Induleka, Rangadevi, Sudevi. All of these, like we see in Radha Madhav temple in Mayapur, we see all these deities. So among all of them, the leader is actually Lalita Devi. Of course, we say Vishakha and Lalita are important, but still the most important is Lalita Sakhi. And all these Sakhis, all these Ashta Sakhis, they also have their own groups. Under their group, they are the group leaders, and under them there are many other Sakhis also, many other gopis also. But all of these Sakhis, they actually serve Radha directly. And for all of them, Radha is the leader, but they are also individual groups under the leadership of Radharani, and they have group leaders under these individual groups, like Lalita is one leader, Vishakha is one leader, like that you have many, many groups. And Srimati Lalita Devi is the topmost. And there are some qualities about Lalita Devi. She's always very supportive of Radharani. So when there is a fight between Krishna and Radha, she's always very supportive of Radharani. So though she serves Krishna very nicely, she always takes the side of Radhika. And in fact, all these gopis under the Ashta Sakhis, all of them, they decorate Srimati Radharani, they cheat their husbands and in-laws, they always take Radhika's side, and then they arrange for secret meetings, they serve meals and taste remnants, they guard the pastimes of Radharani, the secret pastimes, they criticize the followers of Chandravali. That is a very major pastime for them. They cannot tolerate Chandravali and her group, so always there's a fight. And they always criticize Chandravali. Like that, they strictly follow their group. They are very strict about groups in the spiritual world, so they strictly follow their group leader. And this Lalita, she has ecstatic love, and she gives outrageous answers to Krishna, so that's how she serves the divine couple, by always supporting Radha and giving outrageous answers to Krishna. And then not only are these gopis, varagopis, the eight gopis and their groups, not only that, you also have gopi messengers like Vrinda Devi and others who act as messengers. And actually Rupa Goswami says there are hundreds and millions of gopis, of which 800,000 are eternally perfect. But of course there is no way to count them. And then after the gopi messengers, you have the manjaris. So these manjaris, they are little young, intimate assistants of the elderly gopis, even these gopis, they are not very old. Like when I said elderly gopi or the varagopis, they are also around 15, 16. They are of the age of Radha and Krishna, actually, most of them. They are around the same age. But these manjaris, they are even younger. They are like much, much, much younger girls, like 7, 8-year-old girls. So these manjaris, they are very young, intimate assistants, and they are always anxious to serve. So examples of manjari is Rupa Manjari and others. Rupa Manjari is our leader. And the same Rupa Manjari, he incarnated as Rupa Goswami. And in fact, all our Goswamis are manjaris. And in fact, many of the acharyas in our parampara are also manjaris. So this manjari is very special in our sampradaya. Like we have Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, almost so many people, I believe, if I'm wrong, please correct me. But all the Goswamis, like that, there are a lot of manjaris in our sampradaya. So this is the classification of the different kinds of devotees who are in different rasas, like the Madhuri Rasa and Atsalyarasa, Dasirasa, Sakirasa, Shantarasa. So that's all I wanted to cover for today. Just what is Bhava Bhakti? How does one attain that stage? What happens in that stage? And the devotees in the different rasas, how they are unique, how each rasa is unique to each person. And it's not that all the people in Shantarasa will have the same mood or all the people in Vatsalyarasa are going to have a similar thing. The predominating quality is similar, but still each person is unique. And depending on the seed we have, the watering process is the same, but the flower that comes out is very different. So this is the essence of what we have discussed today. If you have any questions or corrections or anything to add, please let me know. Hare Krishna.
I think only Bhaktivinoda Prabhu and Maitreya Prabhu, Mataji, right, in this call.
Yeah,
Bhaktivinoda Prabhu is short and short.
Hari Bhava, Prabhu. I always like to speak after you. Mataji, you gave a very beautiful summary of Bhaktivinoda Prabhu's syndrome, which we cannot grasp even after reading it so many times. But you made it easier to understand, even though it's still complicated, but much better than reading. Thank you so much. You've done a lot of hard work, I'm sure.
I don't know how much mistakes I've made because I couldn't directly read Bhakti Rasamrita Sundar. I just took down notes from lectures. So I could have made many mistakes. And I also wanted clarification for that that particular verse that talks about the Swati Nakshatra. So if you know, both of you find it, please let me know. Okay.
Okay, Mataji. If I come to know that, I'll let you know.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Very nice class. Very relishable class. yeah, sure.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very heavy class for me, Mataji. I attended Bhakti course my best and Yogi Shri Prabhu, he keep on pushing us to learn these things. It's like, yes, I think it's like an exam, but it's just like a refreshment, Mataji. Very nice, Mataji. Luckily, like today, only three of us here on this call. It made more calm and even at home also, I don't have any work. My practice is getting done tomorrow. So I pay so much attention, Mataji, compared to last 2 weeks. So it's so nice, Mataji. So nice. I really enjoyed this class.
Thank you so much, bro. So nice.
Yeah, Mataji, the way you explained Bhava Bhakti, it transforms to Prema, this and the level of purity, right, Mataji? It's good. I understood clearly. When you were saying about Bhava, Mataji, I remember the past time, Mataji. I think, definitely you guys know. That is, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were traveling to Puri, right, Mataji? When it is like around few miles from the temple, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees the Sudarshan Chakra on top of Puri temple. Then he meets all these guys and he just runs.
Yeah.
So much speed. The other people, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just running, but other people, they had to carry their stuff, right, Mataji? All cooking things and everything. They could not run, they were just watching them. Then he will be running. I think you know, Mataji. Everybody know. Then he go to the main room, temple room, and he just jumps and he rolls. All those symptoms you say, he was rolling. Then, like a very ordinary and regular mundane devotee thinks, right, Mataji? He's doing some overaction, overreacting. And what's the need to roll like that? Most of the people, based on what I heard, Mataji, they think like it's unnecessary to roll like that. But only 1%, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, right, Mataji? He sees him, he finds like he's not a mad guy, he's not doing any overreaction or anything. He says, okay, get him to, and he takes him to his home and allow him to take rest for 2 days, I think. I remember that very much. When you were talking, I mean, just in between, I lost context, and then I came back to your conference. That was very nice, Mataji. mean, the way you mentioned about the anubhav, bhakti, those things. And one new thing I learned about today, I never heard, Subala is better off Srimad Radharani. I saw all those kids' animation videos many times, Subala. I didn't know Mataji.
Sridham Prabhu. Sridham is Radharani's brother.
Oh, Sridham. Oh, okay, yeah. Sridham. I didn't know there is a brother in the gang. I didn't know.
So, yeah, actually, there is a pastime, I think, Vatira Samra was in the one which states that, or maybe some other scripture, I'm not sure, but one of the Goswami's works only, it states that Krishna doesn't reveal everything to Sridham. But rather he would go, especially with respect to what happens with Radharani and all, because he's very cautious, because he knows this is the brother. So he's not very as confidential as Subal or Ujwala or someone like that.
Yeah, like it's that. Very difficult for a brother, Mata. I mean, if somebody,
yeah.
because I have three elder sisters. I mean, I used to have four, but one sister, uh-huh. she passed away when she was young, 11 uh-huh. years. So, it's like a usual human, the brotherly mm-hmm. feeling, right, Mata? Like if somebody mm-hmm. watching the brother sisters, right, he gets so allergic. I mean, he can't bear that one. Why should somebody watch my sisters? But
yeah.
when you were talking about that one, I was just thinking how, I mean, Krishna is very naughty, teasing and all those things I heard. He's the height of teasing, Mataji. So he's, everybody thinking he's having some affair with Srimad Radharani. And in the same group, in the same gang, had brother also there. I mean, how he would have failed. it's all pastimes, Mataji, but... just thinking at that kind of moment. Of course, I mean my way of talking clearly resembles like the perverted feeling of in Kali Yuga, but I just remember that.
No, it's fine. Yeah. That's
yeah.
true also. Yeah, that's what is Rasa.
Yeah. Yes, Mata. Yeah. And the one point you may repeated in the summary also about all the plants in the garden, right, they're all given the same water, but it's up to individuals how they grow up. That's a very, very valid point, Mataji. It's like Krishna also mentions in Bhagavad Gita, right, Mataji? Everybody given the same resources, air, water and everything. So it's up to the person's greed. How much they eat and how much they grab, steal, all those things. It's very good, Mata. I really like the class. Today is very pleasing and pleasant environment for me, even at home also. So I pay more attention.
Nice Prabhu.
No, Mata, your efforts, you're collecting all this information from different lectures. In addition to your regular sustenance programs in Atlanta and going to temple, thank you so much, Mata, for taking
much
efforts to put all these things together. And it is for me in a very easy way to understand. So nice of you, Mata. Thank you so much.
So nice of you, Bravo. So nice of you. Thank you, Bravo.
Thank you, Mata. I have no questions, Mata.
So yeah. Okay, bro. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah. So then we'll end the call. Okay, bro.
Yes, Mataji. Hari Bol.
Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kapasam Vyasya Pratitanam Kavanetra Vaishnam Vitra Namanaha Anastati Vaishnam Randhik Rekke Jai Namachar Shri Hari Rastakur Ki Jai Shri Brahma Samhita Ki Jai Shri Nectar of Devotion Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Haribol.
Haribol.
Recording.